Good evening. Certainly good to have everybody out tonight. We're going to begin in James chapter 3 tonight. The title of the lesson is The Hardest Thing to Control in Your Life, Your Tongue. You know, we say things and, you know, once they're said, you can't take them back, you know, and it could do real harm. The chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, James is discouraging members from being teachers. Verse 1, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. On the margin may say greater condemnation. There's degrees of sin. There's degrees of punishment. I mean, in the 70s we're going to make everybody teachers. I mean, if you become a teacher, you say a lot of things, and it's easy to get off track. It's easy to say things contrary to the will of God. And as we saw this morning, that's not a pretty picture. And so he's telling them, don't you just rush in to be a teacher of God's word. Because there is a stricter scrutiny, a greater condemnation if you fail. If you look at Matthew chapter 11 for just a moment, verse 23-24, talking about degrees of sin. A teacher has more responsibility. They have more opportunity to fail. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, then he, Jesus, began to reproach the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. The purpose of the miracles was a sign that something's wrong, that you need to change your attitude. And he gets on them because they don't get the message. They don't change. Verse 21, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Tyre and Sidon on that Mediterranean coast, they're long gone. You know. But he said, you know, if I compare them to you people, and you've had greater opportunity because you saw miracles. They didn't see miracles. If they would have seen miracles, they would have repented a long, long time ago. And so the greater opportunity means rejection of that means greater punishment. That you've had better opportunity to other people, and we take that into account. Worse than that, and he said in verse 22, nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. More tolerable. So, you know, there's degrees of how much pain you're going to feel in the day of judgment. Some people are not going to feel as much as others. You know, some people are good people. They don't do a lot of wrong. They don't have no use for God. And the bad people, yeah, it'll be more tolerable for them people. Verse 23, and you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You have descended to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Even Solomon would repent if they had that opportunity. And it's clear what happened to them. And so Sodom's ahead of Capernaum, 24. Nevertheless, I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And so here's Jesus doing miracles. And if you ever had a chance to see God and God at work, it was standing in front of them. And they rejected that opportunity. Something's wrong with their heart. Something, you know, they're not doing the things Sodom and Gomorrah did, but something worse is wrong with their heart. So in James chapter 1, he doesn't encourage people to become teachers. Why? Verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. If you have enough trouble falling and failing without bringing the tongue into it. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. And if you can control the tongue, that's accomplishment. And the lesser problems in your body will be simpler to handle. And so the real problem is your tongue. If you want to be a teacher, you have to be real careful. So the point comes up, if one can control the tongue, you know, he talks about in verse 3 and 4, how we use small things to control bigger things all the time. Verse 3, now if we put the bits in the horse's mouth so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Well, if you can get control of that horse's mouth, you know, you get a Snapple bit in there, a different type bit, you know, a little pressure, one puts more pressure than the other, what? That horse will move. Well, you can use little things to control this huge animal. And he's talking about controlling the tongue, which means a little angle, you control the rest of your body. Verse 4, behold, the ships also, though they're so great and driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. You got these gigantic ships out there carrying all this cargo across the world nowadays, from China to here. And there are 100-foot rogue waves that come up. Even the biggest ships got problems with them. And I'm surprised they don't try to go around the storms. They try to run between them. And they're catching, you know, the lesser wind there. But this great ship, and against all these waves out here, is being directed by that little rudder at the base of the ship. And he says at the end of verse 4, wherever the inclination the pilot desires, the pilot's mind decides which way we're going to turn. And we determine how we're going to use her tongue or not. But if you can get control of the little thing, you can control your whole body, is what he's saying. And why do we need to control the tongue? Verse 5 through 8. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Oh, the tongue, you know, it does a lot of boasting. How great. You know, and when you stop and look at you and me, we're just flesh and bone. I mean, that's all we are. You know, we're not somebody special. Some people can do certain things better than others, and there's this evil within that you want to boast and get ahead of everybody. Tongue does that. And also, it's that one spark that sets that whole forest and thousands of acres are burned because of one little spark. And somebody's word can do that, and on a big scale. In verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles our entire body. Boy, you can be a good person in a lot of areas, but you can ruin it all by a sharp mouth or something, or hurtful words, you know. And it defiles your whole body. You can't separate yourself from it. You said it, you know, and it, continuing on in verse 6, and sets on fire the course of our life. Boy, you make a statement, now you got to back it up. You can't get out of it unless you can find humility, and usually that's hard to do, and guess what? You've got to go down that path now. So you have to be careful what you say. And is set on fire by hell. That's the potential. Verse 7, you know, talking about taming it. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. We can tame everything else. You know, I mean, you know, the people that train, you know, the tigers and the elephants, but they do. The elephants there just go along, you know, because they've been trained to move that way. And so if we can train every wild beast and bird, verse 8, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Just in a general sense, he's saying. When you think about it, I mean, there's this restlessness in there, and it's got to say it. Where many times, if we just don't say what we think, I mean, life would be a lot better for us and everybody else, but it's got to say it, you know, for whatever motivation's there, and it's full of deadly poison. It can be used both ways, but it can really hurt other people. Point number 2, the tongue is inconsistent at best. It can produce evil, hard to tame, but it's inconsistent at best. And first of all, in verse 9 and 10, it's inconsistent with who we are. Verse 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. There's something wrong there. That's a little inconsistent. That we're praising God, giving Him glory, and at the same time you saying bad things to people who are made in the likeness of God. Something's wrong with the picture there. Verse 10, from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. And boy, that's a good statement. You know, I mean, everybody knows that's true. But withholding your tongue, you know, getting control of it. Secondly, verse 11 and 12, the tongue is inconsistent with nature itself. Verse 11. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? No. It's going to be one or the other. I mean, that's clear, and that's what we ought to be doing. Verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? Or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. No. Nature is all about being consistent with who you are. And since we're in the likeness of God, we need to think about how we treat other people. Well, interesting along that, I looked up some verses on Proverbs. And a lot of interest. I've seen some great ones in Psalms, but time is of limit here. But in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, Proverbs 6:16, there are degrees of sin and degrees of punishment, and there are seven things that God hates. If you want to write down the top seven, three of them have to do with the tongue. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. There are six things which the Lord hates, yet seven which are an abomination to Him. He's using that Hebrew language there. You know, six, and then we bump it up one. He hates it. It's an abomination. These are horrible in His sight. Verse 17, haughty eyes and a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. A lying tongue is tied to shedding innocent blood. We would think that's bad. But a lying tongue is what? It's hurting somebody, even if it's just holding them back from doing good or holding them back for, just misdirecting. Just, it's still hurting somebody. I was surprised that Elena was sitting on the couch and she mentioned something to me. Now, I know that, but it shocked me. You remember last year the H1N1 flu and how the elderly, they didn't have much supply and they're having a hard time getting it. And so the elderly, they're immune to it because they've been through. It was a fabrication. She said, did you know that I just saw? It was a total fabrication. Lying tongue. You know, just to cover their sales so they didn't look bad because they didn't have enough supply, didn't have it organized, and it wasn't a real problem anyway. You know, it just kill off the old folks. And Aline always talking about she's on Obama's death list, you know. So, but just matter of fact, you know. But the verse 18, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil. 19, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Now, Lord, what do you hate? You know, a person who's testifying and they lie, and to get somebody convicted or get somebody off that shouldn't be off, whoa, that's not just, that's not right. And he hates that. And then one who spreads strife among brothers. I mean, if people wouldn't be up to evil, there might be unity. Everybody working together and it'd be a wonderful world. So he hates that. Chapter 12, verse 17. 17 through 19, chapter 12, verse 17. He who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. I mean, it rashly saying things without thinking. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. That you need to be considered of the need of the moment to extend grace. The one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword. I mean, just says it without thinking. And it says the opposite of that. Is that the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's what Ephesians 4:29 is saying. How you say things, what your intent is, and how to benefit other people. But there is eternal consequences with all this. Verse 19. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. I mean, a person goes about just being truthful, then them and God are walking the same road, and that road leads past death into eternity. And there's no problem. But the lying tongue, it's only for a moment. That's not going anywhere good. Chapter 21, verse 6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. Yeah, the bailout. You got a little lie there. To gain wealth. Do you have any idea what you're doing, people? That is the pursuit of death. I mean, you're asking to be separated from God forever here. I mean, taking advantage of people and using your tongue to, and it's just a fleeting vapor. I mean, you got it, but guess what? You're pursuing death. I mean, you're chasing after it. You know, what if you catch the lion? You know, what are you going to do then? Well, you're pursuing death. Chapter 21, verse 23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Boy, there's your good one. Guarding your what you say. You want to guard your soul from troubles? Well, don't say a lot of things you're thinking, you know. There's a need to say it. There's a when to say it. There's how to say it. But boy, if you want troubles, you need to guard what you say and how you say it and when you say it. You know, I had to throw in chapter 25, verse 23 through 24, because it's a personal thing. Proverbs 25, verse 23. The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. I mean, backbiting. Yeah. Not only does it, your soul travel down that road into darkness a lot further once you start that backbiting, you're not going to be a happy person. You're going to be an angry person. The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. You're not going to be in a good mood once you start that. And conscience has got you. You know, there's a lot of problems with that. Verse 24. It is better to live in a corner of the roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. And Lynn and Joni know Patrick Smith and Bobby Smith over in Cuba. And Bobby is the blunt of the story. And I love hearing Bobby tell the story. You know, her and Patrick will get into an argument, and he's always going to win. And the more he wins, the more frustrated, and she's emotional. And she can't drop it. Well, she looks around, there's no Patrick. And she goes outside looking for him. It's been a while. And the argument stopped, and she's still wanting to argue. And she looks up, and he's squatting on top of the roof. And she said, point made. She got the message, you know, that she just wouldn't let it go, you know. And it's better off on the top of the roof than with a contentious woman. And she did, you see the big smile on her face when she realized that's what she was doing, you know. And so be careful, you know, about being contentious and things and what you say. Look at 28, verse 23. Another one that has a good message to it, chapter 28, verse 23. He who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. Somebody's doing wrong, and you can talk nice to them. You're not changing their heart. Now, you rebuke them. You warn them. At the moment, it's not going to be pleasant, most likely. They got to have a really good heart. Usually they flush, and they say something about you, and they try to bring you into guilt. He who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue. If the person's got a good heart, you know what? That was right, and thank you. Afterwards. Not at the first moment. So, you know, understanding sometimes people need to be rebuked. Talking to them nicely, that's not going to stop it. And so, the use of the tongue is a powerful thing. It is the hardest thing to control because it's so easy. We talk a lot and natural to talk. As a teacher, you have to have the right attitude. You know, what is the Lord's will? You know, this is not my opinion. And you know, that narrows the boundaries. And you're not going too far. Or if it's there are verses that are hard to understand. You just say they're hard to understand because they are. And someone tells you they know what it is, they don't know because you know they don't because it's obvious it's, nobody else knows what it means. And so you have to be careful. The tongue, you know, it's a small thing, but you get more control of it, you'll find out you can get control of other things in your life you need to a lot easier. And so if you work at that, you know, it can cause a lot of evil. Just be on guard. You know, here we are, the people of God. And here we are, we praise God. And, you know, it is a glory to a person to be able to let things go, you know, not to bring out every evil that somebody does. You know, God knows it. They know it. You know it. Other people know it. It's going to be shouted from the rooftops one day anyway. Nobody's getting away with anything. So, you know, you can have a good attitude toward other people. And the attitudes inside is going to determine whether you got self-control or how you treat people. Husband and wife, oh, it definitely applies. How you say things is a wonderful thing. You know, the internet, you can chat back and forth. There's no emotion, or even if there is emotion, what? Exclamation point, don't say it. Like somebody's mad or they are offended over something. But face to face, feelings can be hurt. They can unintentionally be judged, took in the wrong way. You know, there's a lot involved in relationships. And so having a good heart and thinking of other people, you know, you can do better with the tongue. Jesus, even on the cross, what, when he was being reviled, didn't revile him in turn. No, he didn't utter no threats. He kept everything quiet. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Guilty people, they know. You know, they don't need nobody telling them. Boy, they need a way out. Jesus didn't come to judge the world. He came to save it. John 12:47-48. But you know, they can reject his word, but that word will judge them in the last day. I mean, they need to confess him. I mean, if you ever do anything with your tongue, it needs to, from the heart, move forward and confess Jesus is Lord. Because Jesus is Lord. And he's going to be ruling when it's all said and done. Oh, but baptism is for forgiveness of sins. Boy, it's to free you of all the failures and all the guilt and give you hope and salvation and a new leader in your life. You know, most of us ain't go steal or murder, but if we're not careful, we can get in a pattern of the use of the tongue the wrong way. And that's where we need to watch it. If we get control of that, we'll do a lot better in a lot of other areas. Need to respond anyway once you come as we stand and sing.